From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. This is War of the Worlds on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I'm George Eliason, and this is the radio broadcast from TNT, breaking the news of the War of the Worlds. In front of the microphone, you won't be hearing armchair generals and think tankers paid to run propaganda for NATO and the Biden administration. Our microphone is fitted with a special filter to keep the propaganda and false expertise out. This is not the hour for repeating what you already heard and rehashing what you already know. We aren't the BBC's Foreign Office with soft-centered confectionery. They are the alien invaders. This is the hour when you'll be able to hear the news breaking from the news fronts throughout Europe and from your ears to your brains. Not the alien invaders, but the fresh, original human analysis of what the breaking news means. So sit tight and here goes. Now on today's show, we've got a really great discussion. The fall of the FBI, how once great agency became a threat to democracy, by Thomas J. Baker. Thomas Baker has 33 years of experience as an FBI special agent and is the author of that book. It offers a roadmap for reforming the FBI and restoring the culture by restoring the confidence of the general public in the FBI. Because of a career spanning the administrations of seven U.S. presidents from Johnson to Clinton, Tom can report on the good, the bad, and the ugly from an insider's perspective. And this is a discussion that needs to be heard. So we'll be getting to that. Now let's start off with what's going on in D.C. with the funding being jammed for Ukraine. This fight over Ukraine right now, with McCarthy being ousted, is going to set the tone for the rest of the year. And quite frankly, it could become very, very dangerous, because the rhinos in the House and the Senate, as well as almost the entire Democratic Party in both houses, is trying to push this through. Even though the Ukraine is losing troops at such an exponential rate, I mean, literally, they've lost, we're not talking about a generation or two generations. We're literally looking at three generations of Ukrainians lost in this war. All of this to cover corruption, all of this to cover investments. Investments in what? Ukraine? No. Ukraine had a fire sale of all their assets. Ukrainian internet, as a matter of fact, the entire Ukrainian internet apparatus is owned by a company in New Jersey. So when we say supporting Ukraine to avoid corruption charges, all they have to do is invest in a company in New Jersey. And no one will ever notice, no one will ever look at it, unless you're listening to the radio show and we're kind of announcing it live on the air. This isn't just an internet company, though. We're talking about energy. We're talking about telephones. We're talking about security. We're talking about everything. And this is what these people, including McCarthy, are trying to protect. They're paid for votes for their next campaign. This is how sick the DC culture is. Now, we're going to be talking in a few minutes about specifically the FBI with Thomas Baker. But this is part of that mess. And quite frankly, all of it needs to be cleaned up. And listen, if you listen carefully to what he has to say about this, you'll understand the danger if we don't approach this as from a whole government perspective. Not just the FBI, not just the CIA, not just the DOJ, not just Health and Human Services, or the State Department, or Congress, or the presidency, or whatever. We can't be selective. And we have to look at reform as an all or nothing package. It's all or it's nothing. Because if we leave anything undone, I'm sorry, the weeds are just going to grow back a lot thicker and very, very soon. In terms of Ukraine, we are not going to see very much difference going on. Now we're looking at new, you know, developments in weapons deliveries. And there are no super weapons. No matter what anyone tells you, there are no game changers. The Ukrainian government has set up their people to be attrited, and that's all it is. You give somebody 2 days training, throw them on the front line with 5 bullets, what is it that you expect is going to happen? And it's quite a shame, and we need to stop supporting this mess. As promised, we have Thomas J. Baker. He's an FBI veteran explaining how the Mueller Comey cabal turned the FBI from a swear-to-tell-the-truth law enforcement agency to a politicized intelligence organization. His new book, The Fall of the FBI, How a Once Great Agency Became a Threat to Democracy, is available at Amazon and many other great booksellers. Now, Thomas, we're focusing on your the jacket of your book talks about Mueller, but this goes back to right after 9/11, where this all started. Would you like to start there and explain?
Yes, George. What happened, the United States was attacked on 9/11. As everybody knows, it was a crisis. And what's happened historically, not just in the United States, but around the world, whenever there's a crisis, often there's an overreaction by people in power, often good and well-meaning people. In the United States, we've seen it in our history, going back to Abraham Lincoln, who I think everybody today likes Abraham Lincoln, knows he was a great president and a good man. But yet, when Fort Sumter was attacked, it was a crisis just like September 11th, and he suspended the writ of habeas corpus. He did away with those basic civil rights, and he was criticized by the Supreme Court for that, and later the Supreme Court said that he was wrong to have done that. Then we have the attack on Pearl Harbor, which in everybody's mind was as traumatic as the attack of September 11th. In a response, an overreaction to the attack on Pearl Harbor, President FDR had Japanese Americans interned for the length of the war, seized their properties, took them away, and put them in camps. The problem with that was, the outstanding problem with that was, is that many of these Japanese were Japanese Americans. They were born in the United States. They were U.S. citizens. He simply did away with all their rights. Everybody now condemns that as well. But what has not yet been condemned is the overreaction to September 11th. The September 11th attacks happened on a Tuesday. Bob Mueller of special counsel fame, had become the FBI director just a few days before. On the Saturday morning after the September 11th attacks, President George W. Bush summoned him to the presidential retreat in Camp David, Maryland. And he went to that retreat in the mountains in Maryland on that Saturday morning. Now, only 3.5 days had transpired between the attacks on Tuesday and that meeting on Saturday morning. Bob Mueller presented his report to President George W. Bush, and he was sitting there ensconced in that retreat. And as he got to the end of his report, which was a fabulous report, and he was very proud of it, because in only 3.5 days, the FBI had done what it does best, investigate. And they had identified all 19 hijackers. They had identified their financing. They had identified their travel. They had identified all their contacts. And when he was done presenting that report, George W. Bush simply said to Mueller, "I don't care about that. I just want to know how you're going to prevent the next one." Mueller left that meeting humiliated. He told us this. And he was bound and determined then to change the culture of the FBI. And that's the word he used. And that change from a law enforcement mindset to an intelligence culture led to a lot of unforeseen consequences and a lot of bad consequences.
Now, if we take this back a little bit further, I've actually traced this back to right after 9/11. If you go like, we'll say 2004, 2005, Congress mandated the FBI get into online intelligence, OSINT intelligence. And they actually started hiring out because the FBI's capabilities were null at that point. They hired private contractors to do this and start bulking up the, I guess, the capability. The CIA did the same thing. By 2007, over 80% of the CIA personnel were outsourced. They were hires. And that's documented. Did that have a lot of impact on this culture as it went forward inside the FBI regarding the changes?
Well, yes, that was one of many changes that were made. One change with specificity was they imported from the CIA this position, this concept of an intelligence analyst. Now, in the CIA, which is and is supposed to be purely an intelligence agency, half of their efforts, half of their house, so to speak, is made up of these this intelligence analyst position, people who just sit around. I'm not being sarcastic, but they sit around and they think of things and they analyze and they project and they deal in possibilities, they deal in estimates, they deal in best guesses. Importing that kind of a position to an agency like the FBI that has police powers can have disastrous consequences, because prior to this, the FBI was supposed to work within the guidelines of the Constitution. And they only could look at people, according to the Attorney General guidelines, who had either committed or were planning or advocating committing acts of violence. They were not to look at people in the FBI. We were not to look at people's speech or beliefs, political, religious beliefs. This is all covered by the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. People have the right of freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. We were always very conscious of that. But the intelligence analysts come in and they do this free-wielding thinking, and that's led to, in recent times, the crackpot proposals to monitor parents at school board meetings, and more specifically, to monitor Catholics who choose to worship using the Latin language. That's the result of an intelligence analyst proposal. That position just really shouldn't fit in an agency that has police power. It's too dangerous.
Oh, exactly. And you know, this is something that the FBI actually started fighting in the mid 2000s. I think it was 2003 or four when this first came up, and these outside contractors started trying to worm their way into the FBI. One of them you may be familiar with. His name is Andrew Aaron Weisbert. He actually has medals from the FBI because he brought that culture along and trained a lot of the people that are, I guess, department heads now, starting 20 years ago. But Marshall Stone said that, you know, at the time, while the FBI encourages citizens to report alleged wrongdoing, it believes any attempt to stop criminals should be left to the government. Without due process, evidence could be tainted and become unusable in court cases, or worse, targets could be condemned as guilty when they're really innocent. And this was actually beginning, you know, this is after 9/11, 2003, 2004, and the FBI culture was very, very clear at that point. They didn't want any part of this. They wanted to stay purely as an investigative agency, which is that's their wheelhouse. Do you see this going forward? Do you see any way to remedy this?
Well, yes, it has to be remedied. What the difference is, George, and it's very clear, and I talked to a lot of people who recently left the FBI, and I'm still talking to some people who are in the FBI. The FBI, prior to September 11th, always had a law enforcement mindset. Granted, it had responsibility for counterintelligence and counterterrorism investigations in the United States, but it always approached it from a law enforcement point of view. And the difference is this. In a law enforcement agency, you exist, you live every day, for all your activity, all your actions, when the day comes that you have to stand up in court and before a judge or a jury, raise your right hand and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. That's very different from an intelligence agency that, number one, that they deal in deceit and deception, and their end product is not testimony in court, it's not facts. It's an estimate, and they call it an intelligence estimate. Some would call it a best guess. Guesses aren't allowed in the courtroom.
Right.
That's the fundamental difference, and there are many differences and many problems that flow from that.
We've got to take a quick break. I really want to get into those last points when we get back. This is TNT Talk Radio, and I'm George Eliason. This is War of the Worlds. We'll see you in a minute.
TNT Radio's Jeremy Nell.
I've got Judy's book. I've gone through it. It is very, very persuasive. And it's by far one of the best accounts that I can see that has happened. But the problem is it's so much to take in that you have to kind of split the whole thing apart because it's a highly complex concept. The idea of directed energy makes no sense to anybody in the main. However, I did notice, Andrew, that with that recent situation that happened in Maui, suddenly I'm seeing the conversation popping up. Have you noticed?
Yes, very much so, Jeremy. Yes, in fact, quite directly, you know, that led to a spike in the sales of Dr. Judy Wood's book. And then, of course, we've now had the 22nd anniversary of 9/11, so they've got another spike for that. So in terms of how do you start these conversations, you know, going back to the previous question, well, the starting of conversations has perhaps got a little bit easier now that we've gone into sort of living in clan world, you know, as many people have said, and things have been turned upside down with COVID and all of that. And many more people have said, well, what the hell is really going on?
Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
We have the power to get whatever and whoever we want. Let's go. Time to find somewhere hot. We cut through the traffic. No one can stand in our way. Wait there. Don't move a muscle, the paramedic said. The driver said I just ran out in front of him. I can't remember anything, but I've been told I'll be on crutches for a while, and my miniskirt-wearing days are over.
Too much alcohol makes you feel invincible when you're most vulnerable. At least 77% of pedestrians killed in road accidents at night had been drinking. Alcohol. Know your limits.
So I wanted to talk with you and your mom today, Lily, because some people at school have noticed changes going on with you, and we're concerned.
Like what? Who?
Some of your friends, teachers. Sounds like you've lost interest in a lot of things lately. You're hanging with new friends?
So?
So, individually, maybe those things are no big deal. But taken together, and then the incident the other day, you were with Derek when he was caught selling marijuana.
Yeah, he was selling it.
Honey, we know. But we care about you and want to know what's going on.
That's right. We just want to understand better and see how we might help. And if weed is a part of it, we just want to make sure you understand the negative consequences for someone your age. The physical and mental health effects, the poor decision making, and the confusing legal aspects these days. So what do you say? Can we talk?
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
We've come so far as a nation. We are the envy of the world. And our future is limited only by our belief in each other.
Now we have a choice to make. Do we give in to guilt and division, or do we say no?
No to those who want to divide us.
I've decided to vote no because the voice will divide us.
No to those people who think all Indigenous Australians think the same.
We are not all the same. And there's a lot of us Aboriginal people that are voting no.
No to those who want to change the rule book of the country.
Why let them divide us? Because we are all Australians.
We are one mob.
Come on, Australia. Let's stay united.
Vote no to the voice of division.
Authorised by Matthew Sheehan, Advance Australia, Canberra.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's news talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. You're listening to War of the Worlds with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We are back with Thomas J. Baker. We're discussing the fall of the FBI, how a once great agency became a threat to democracy. Now, when you talk about these analysts, as you were before the break, and how this is affecting the work at the FBI. Now, we look at this whole Russiagate thing. Everything that was in the papers, and a lot of these people that were prosecuted, this was done on what would amount to hearsay evidence, more or less. Would you agree with that?
Well, it's even worse than that. My book sets forth the thesis that there was really no basis to legitimately begin that entire investigation. And that goes back to the change in culture. A month or two ago, John Durham, Special Counsel John Durham, issued his report, over 300 pages, and essentially validated everything in the book. And his conclusion was the FBI was not faithful to the rule of law. Uses those very words. They did not follow the existent Attorney General guidelines, which would have kept them out of trouble. And they had no predicate information, no probable cause, no reasonable basis for starting that investigation whatsoever, nor any of the subsets of it on the various people, such as General Flynn and others that were Papadopoulos that were targeted as it went along. So the whole Russian collusion investigation, the FBI code name for it was Crossfire Hurricane, had no basis in fact.
Well, should these agents and you know, we'll say that the heads above them, should there, because they had to know that this was illegal, basically immoral for the agency to do these things. Is there any liability for them personally on their part for you're looking at false arrest, false prosecution, which amounts to persecution in a lot of these cases. Actually, you're inventing crimes because there were none. just to rope in and get convictions. And all of this leads to, it goes back to trying to get a prosecution case against Donald Trump. Is there any liability in this at all?
Well, yeah, that's a very troublesome question and a very troublesome issue. And a lot of people would like to see more individuals prosecuted for their role in this. I don't think that's going to happen. And as Durham pointed out, and as I point out, a lot of what happened were people going up to the line. There were a few cases where it was clearly illegal, and at least one person who falsified an affidavit for a Pfizer warrant was criminally prosecuted. But in most instances, it amounted to an abuse of authority. That's the dangerous thing here. You have authorities existing out there, some of them, because of September 11th, the broader authority that was given, people took advantage of that. And you see this time and time again. You see it with the unmasking of General Flynn. You see it with the FISA. These were people abusing their authority, people at every level. Now, then what has happened began in the immediate aftermath of the Russian collusion investigation. That case, because of the changes, and one of the reasons this could happen, George, was the changes that Bob Mueller initially made in changing the culture of the FBI. Traditionally, FBI investigations are run from the field, conducted by a field agent who's supervised directly by a field supervisor. And then there's the agent in charge of that office, and only later layers a review at FBI headquarters. Mueller did away with all of that for Crossfire, for Pence bomb, the investigation of the September 11th attacks, and then that model was continued by Comey in the Hillary Clinton email investigation and then the Russian collusion investigation. And that being, they ran it all from headquarters. So these layers of independent judgment and independent review, which are really safeguards, didn't exist. So you had the situation where a few individuals were making the decisions. They were abusing their authority. They were making all the decisions, and then they were carrying out the investigation. So there was no independent review, no independent layers of judgment. It was bound to end badly. And an example of that is this: a deputy assistant director, Peter Strzok, opened the investigation, signed out the communication approving the opening of the investigation. And then he traveled to London the next day and conducted the first interview in that investigation. It was bound to end badly. So what happened? Strzok, Comey, McCabe, the deputy director at that time, these were the people involved in that opening an investigation with no predicate, no real predicate. They were all fired. They were all let go. By various people. Comey was fired by President Trump. McCabe was fired by the Attorney General. Peter Strzok was fired by the Deputy Director, by the next Deputy Director. Nobody was prosecuted, but they all were fired. So that's your concern, George. But every time something happens, Congress or the public, newspaper reporters, or groups of former agents ask the current management of the FBI about it, and we always get the answer, well, the bad apples are gone. And this goes back to Strzok, Comey, and McCabe being gone after the Russian thing, the two agents who were involved in the gymnast investigation were let go, at least two agents who were involved in the Governor Whitmer investigation and abused their authority there very clearly, they were fired. An agent involved in suppressing the laptop, Hunter Biden's laptop, was let go. And each time that Director Wray or some other bureau official is asked about this by Congress, their answer is, the bad people are no longer with us. The response, the official response, the written official response 2 months ago to Durham's report was the same. Those people who did this are no longer in the FBI. But they are not looking at the underlying problem, the cultural change, structural changes that allowed these abuses, and that's what they were, abuses of authority, to take place.
Now, in line with that, you know, we'll look at, you know, Mueller, all these people trying to affect an election. All right, they're trying to affect the results of an election. So we have the FBI more or less reaching out, acting on behalf of a political party. Now, this is going to get kind of, you know, it's sketchy, but can we view that and that culture as a subset of the Democratic Party? Is the FBI a police unit for the DNC today? Has it gone that far? Is this is what we need to change? Beyond scrapping it, if it has gone that far and starting over, how do you weed that out? How do you clear that out?
Well, a lot has to be done to change that culture. The problem, why these abuses that you just alluded to several were allowed to take place, is because of that centralization of decision-making in headquarters. There were no levels of review, no levels of independent judgment, so you had this very small cabal at the top making all the decisions. And people who carried out individual leads down the road were not even aware of the whole picture or what was behind the orders they were getting. And I've heard this from people. And another thing that's happened to me, George, in the last few months, not surprisingly with my book, I've gone to book signings at Barnes & Noble and similar stores in different states. People come up to me, identify themselves as current Bureau employees, and they tell me things. And one of the things they tell me is that the intelligence analysts are driving the agenda. And the whole thing has gotten off track, and they say words to the effect, Tom, it's worse than you think.
How do we separate the FBI from these intelligence analysts? How do we do that today?
Well, they have to be put back in their box. And the memo about targeting Catholics, that got out in the public thanks to a whistleblower, and we now know how it worked. And what happened was the intelligence analysts are not groomed, are not trained the way a special agent was trained in the past. The principal legal advisors in each FBI field division and at headquarters, at one time, they were all special agents who were trained attorneys, qualified attorneys. Now, in most instances, they've been replaced by direct hires, attorneys who are brought in. So in the case of the Richmond memo targeting the traditional Catholics, it was written by an intelligence analyst, approved by her supervisory intelligence analyst, and sadly was approved by the principal legal advisor of that division, who it turned out, or who we believe, was not a special agent. So that the primacy of the special agent position, that's another subset of these problems, that has to be restored. When I was in training as a new agent, and for many, many years thereafter, most of our classroom training was in the Constitution, about the Constitution, specifically the Bill of Rights. And particularly, of course, we were taught the sacredness of the First Amendment, and that we were to be guardians of that, and that's the people's right of free speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, and cases couldn't be opened that threatened that. But at the same time, we spent a lot of time as going into law enforcement, studying the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments. Now, for people who don't know it, the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment are limits on police power. They have to do with search and seizure, the right to counsel, the defense against self-incrimination. But we were taught, and this is what our instructors said to us, we should not see those amendments as obstacles to be overcome. We should embrace them. And we did. And at the end of our training, we were given a pocket-sized copy of the Constitution And our legal instructors told us to keep it in our breast pocket. And they said to us, when you're out there interviewing an American citizen or searching somebody's home, if you have the Constitution in your pocket, it is very unlikely that you'd ever do anything that went beyond those guide rails, that violated the spirit of the Constitution. You just couldn't do it having the Constitution in your pocket. Now, that sounds corny, I know, to a lot of people, but in fact, that's what we were taught, and that's what a lot of us did.
Yeah, and it keeps you, keeps it very mindful. Yeah, I can see that totally. You know, I brought up earlier in the show that the CIA has about 80% of their analysts are outsourced. It's private contractors. And the original influx of analysts in the FBI, the first 6,000, were also contractors. I think this is a source of the problem because they're not trained. They're not FBI agents. And these people go from contract to contract. So they might be with your agency today, the NSA a month from now, or the CIA, or a private company. Do you think that kind of turnover, project attrition, has anything to do with this too? I mean, the quality of the help, per se.
I don't know with specificity, but I do know that the basic culture has to be changed, and to change the culture, the problem has to be recognized, and the current leadership has not acknowledged, although I've talked to a lot of people in the FBI who realize there is a problem, but the top leadership hasn't acknowledged that, and they continue to fall back on this idea that the bad guys have been fired.
Do they not read the headlines?
What?
Do they not read the headlines? All they need to do is read the headlines, for God's sake.
That's obvious. That's obvious that is a problem. I was at one meeting of former agents, and some people were trying to argue, well, you know, it's unfair criticism. And the guest speaker was a former agent, Mike Rogers, who was an agent for about 10 years and then was in Congress and now is running for the U.S. Senate in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And Mike Rogers just looking, he said, you don't know. He said, I got around this country. I talk to people. I'm running for office. Americans are concerned. They see these abuses. They see people being targeted. They see the militarization of law enforcement, which is another problem. The FBI is in the forefront of that. Where very heavy-handed arrests are actually being televised of white-collar criminals, of nonviolent criminals, just too much muscle being brought to bear. And that diminishes the FBI in the eyes of all the American people. And there are those of us who know that and realize that, and we're speaking out and trying to get the Bureau to pay attention and address that.
This is going to be a very, very difficult question because, you know, it's obvious you love the FBI, what it was and what it should be, what it's become because of this culture. Now, it's obvious that, you know, it's gone beyond looking at the FBI, the agency itself, with a skeptical eye. In a lot of cases, because of, especially with the coverage that they've gotten and what they've been involved in, the agency is actually looked at as a hostile entity by a lot of people. And, you know, I find it kind of troubling, okay, to be honest with you. I grew up watching, you know, on TV, the FBI, okay, and you know, call it the glory days when it was what it was, all right? How far will the FBI have to go to change this image, to gain that trust back, to earn that trust back?
Well, as I said, George, they have to recognize the problem, and then they have to set about changing the culture. And the trust can be, because Americans want to go back, as you've described it. I hear this from people all the time. They're heartbroken that the FBI has become this. And where you said the expression, American citizens are looking at the FBI as the enemy. Well, unfortunately, what's also going on with the work of these intelligence analysts and the current management of the FBI, they're looking at the American people as the enemy. They have to step back from that and stop this analyst approach of looking out there at these 300 plus million Americans and who's the enemy out there, and looking at the citizenry as the enemy. That's part of this mindset, this intelligence mindset, that has to be turned around.
Exactly right. And, you know, I've written research, a lot of articles on this subject. And it's not just the FBI, but it's across the board with the intelligence community. Now, when you consider that, you know, the United States has the world covered, with or without the FBI's intelligence, with or without all these companies. They have 17 agencies, including the FBI. The world is covered, right? We can get in any intelligence we want. But from 2016 to 2018, the intelligence community wanted to hire another 3 million people off the street. And this is part of the problem. No training, give them software, tell them to look for something. Well, what are these 3 million people looking at if they're not looking at United States citizens? So this goes way beyond just the FBI. And I think we're looking at, I mean, everywhere policies made, not even policing agencies, but, you know, look at the State Department, look at, housing, look at health. And we have the same type of people working in each sector. This is a real thing. I had someone actually suggest that, for policymakers and bureaucrats, they should put term limits. So you go in, you serve with, you know, let's say the length of a presidency, give up your job. Should they decapitate the entire FBI then, the top of it? Put people in there that are going to make the changes and follow that through, or is that too much?
Well, I'm not certain about that. But there is a role, and you started to talk about this a minute ago. There is a role beyond the FBI. Definitely is a role for Congress. I keep advocating the FBI has to reform itself and the DOJ. John Durham, in his report, he simply said there's no need for new proposals. They just have to go back to following the existing Attorney General guidelines in domestic security investigations. And he's right, but there also is a role for Congress here. Certain things, like the FISA specifically, that can be reformed by Congress, and it will require legislation from Congress to reform FISA. FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which was originally passed in 1978, was designed to monitor foreign agents in this country for intelligence purposes, not for evidence. After September 11th, it was amended and amended again, and it now allows for the surveilling of American persons, U.S. citizens. That has to be reversed, I think. We have to restore FISA to its original purpose, monitoring foreign agents for intelligence. If an American is suspected of aiding a terrorist organization or being a spy, there's the Espionage Act, there's other statutes that can be used against them that bring them into the realm of the criminal law, where you have to establish probable cause. So there's a role for Congress to make reforms as well. There's a role for the DOJ to reform itself, and there's certainly a role for the FBI to reform.
Oh, I agree 100%. And, you know, these things need to be done, or You know, how far, let's say everything was left untouched and we keep going in the same trajectory we're moving now. And this is across the board. It's not fair to just single out the FBI on this. 5 years, 10 years down the road, what's a possibility, an outcome of this for that period? If we're doing this now and it's not checked and turned back, where could we end up?
Oh, George, it has to be checked and turned back. It can't continue down this track for another 10 years. People's lives, rights are being violated. It cannot go on for another 10 years. You mentioned earlier on the difference between people who had broken the law and people who had abused their authority. That there are things that can be done by the Congress very relatively easily to address some of that. For instance, the unmasking of Americans, which we saw in the General Flynn matter. This is an abuse. The people who did the unmasking, up to and including the man who was the vice president at the time and is now the president of the United States, he did about six unmaskings, we know from the Inspector General's report. And numerous other individuals did unmasking. This was promiscuous unmasking of Americans. There's no punishment for that. These people had the authority to do it. They abused their authority. That has to be changed, and Congress could do that by creating penalties for promiscuous unmasking and requiring reporting to the House Select Intelligence Committees or to specific secure committees of Congress the number of unmaskings each year. It's a big, big area for abuse, and it's related to another abuse, which maybe we'll talk about in the next section, the secondary targeting of U.S. citizens by the intelligence agencies.
Okay, we've got to stop for another break. And why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all the major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Gab and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
So here's what happened. Matt Gaetz filed his motion. Okay, and then there's a time period. And so today, the time period had told, he introduced his motion. The first thing the Republicrats did was to move to table the motion. And what that means is just what it sounds like. Put it on the table. We're not going to take it up. We're not going to discuss it. We'll just hold it in abeyance and let it wither on the vine. That vote failed. 11 Republicans voted against tabling the motion, along with, I think, 209 of the Democrats. Yeah, because the final vote was 198 Democrats and 8 Republicans voted to oust him. So it's interesting. Because once the motion to table Matt Gaetz's motion to vacate the chair failed, they had to take the vote.
The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Unusual fatigue, dizziness, and backache are often different and more subtle than for a man. The fact is, heart disease is the number one killer of women. Know the signs. Learn more at GetHeartChecked.org. From Women's Heart Alliance, in partnership with Women Heart.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi, five Mississippi.
When driving at 60 kilometers an hour, seven Mississippi, checking your phone eight, for just 2 seconds means that you'll miss 33 meters of road.
11 Mississippi, 12 miss a mother, 13 miss a runner, 14 Mississippi.
And who knows what else?
Mississippi, 16 Mississippi.
Know the distance of distraction. Authorized by the State Government, Perth.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
When you can point me to an industry, to a platform that reaches 250 million people a month, virtually 9 out of 10 Americans, that's real, that's substantive, that's important. And that reach and that touch point and that daily reinforcement, it's an amazing place to be able to communicate messages. That's massive.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
This is War of the Worlds on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And welcome back. We're with Thomas J. Baker, the fall of the FBI, how a once great agency became a threat to democracy. With the FBI specifically, now we're looking at, okay, these things need to be done. Specifically, because of the powers that the FBI has, how threatening to, and we're not just talking about around elections, how threatening, how big a threat is it to democracy itself? Can it become what I guess the myth of J. Edgar Hoover was? Hoover controlled D.C., Hoover this, Hoover that, Hoover the other thing. Is this, could this be a, become, I guess, a fourth arm of government in that sense, not just part of the executive?
Well, George, for years, when I talked to people about the FBI, and not just me, this was instructors and people in public affairs that went out from the FBI explaining the FBI to the public. And I saw this firsthand myself in being assigned in two foreign countries. The United States was blessed for years, and I pointed this out, to have as its domestic security service a law enforcement agency, because then that domestic security service, the FBI, was required and did work with the guidelines, the guide rails of the Constitution. Now, that's unique. In other countries, even other Western democracies, the United Kingdom, Canada, their domestic and security agency is a separate civilian entity,
right,
from their police services. So you have people doing domestic security investigations, if you will, domestic spying, who are not operating within that mindset, that law enforcement mindset. So I always said that the U.S. was blessed to have this arrangement. But I fear now what's happened after the Comey and Mueller changes, that the U.S. may be cursed to have a domestic intelligence agency with police powers. Now, we need to flip that back. That needs to be flipped back. That's the danger sitting out there.
Okay. This has been Thomas J. Baker on War of the Worlds. Mr. Baker, thank you so much for coming on today. Now, we can get your book at Amazon and where else? It's The Fall of the FBI, How a Once Great Agency Became a Threat to Democracy.
Yes, it's available on Amazon.com. It's also available in the Barnes & Noble stores and on Barnes & Noble online and other major booksellers.
And where can our listeners find you, sir?
Okay, I have a website for the book, www.thomasjbakerbook.com. thomasjbakerbook.com. And there's a lot about me and the book also on the Amazon site.
Yes, there is, and it is definitely worth the read. Mr. Baker, thank you so much for coming on today.
George, thank you, and thank you for all the good you're doing.
Oh, other way around, sir, seriously. I'm really, when I saw this book, I had to make sure that even before we spoke, that it got listed on that on the website. It's very, very important.
Thank you, George.